Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Our reading is from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. Micah 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth shall be from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up, until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace.
Brother England, thank you for reading that passage. It is a prophecy concerning the coming of our Lord long, long before he ever entered into this world. I know that this has been a time when the world has been thinking about Christ and about his birth. I'm thankful for any time when people think about the Lord. We understand, of course, that Christmas, as we think of it, and as a date that we have set, is not really the time when our Lord came to this earth. No one really knows the time of his birth. I could almost assure you that it was not December the 25th. For several reasons, not the least of which, the shepherds did not keep their flocks out at night in the wintertime. And I just happened to look up the temperature in Bethlehem, and I believe it's 41 degrees now. That's not a whole lot warmer than it is right here. And in a country where people are used to very warm climate, that would be extremely cold. And so for many reasons, including the time of the year, was probably not that. And yet we are thankful that our Lord was willing to come to this earth, and we're thankful that people are thinking about that, especially in this day and this society when it seems that more and more there's just not a lot of room for talk and thinking and worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'd like to read now, in furtherance of what Brother England just read us, a passage over in the New Testament. This is in the second chapter of Luke, and I'm going to begin reading in the first verse, if you'd care to read along with me. Luke 2, beginning in verse 1. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augusta that a census be taken of all inhabited of the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinus was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were complete for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. That statement has some far-reaching consequences and influences in the world, even in our day. And I'd really like to center this morning on that last statement. There was no room for them in the inn. That's just basically saying there was no room for Jesus. Joseph and Mary were from Nazareth, Joseph was, and as you read that, it speaks of them being engaged, but in that society it was the equivalent of they were married. But they're on their way to Bethlehem because the law had said everyone was to register for the census. And when they reached Bethlehem, the child, Jesus, was indeed born. When they got to Bethlehem, evidently there were crowds, large crowds of people. So much so that there was no room, we would say, in the hotel or in the motel. There just wasn't any room for them. And so it was not because they were so poor that they could not afford a room, but there was just no room. And so they were forced to go into a stable. Stables in that country, and especially at that time, were really not what we think of here in Middle Tennessee as a barn or a stable, but it could have been simply a grotto. But nevertheless, they go into this very humble setting, and there Jesus is born, and he is laid in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. The sad truth is, in many, many ways, the world just did not have room for Jesus. When you think of the political and religious leaders of his day, there was no room for them, for Jesus in their house or their thinking. Herod, for instance, hearing that the Messiah or the King of the Jews had been born, wanted to know where he was and asked the wise men to tell him where Jesus was, this King of the Jews. And then it goes on to tell us that really his purpose was to kill Jesus, to get rid of this rival king. There was no room for Jesus as far as Herod was concerned. And then when you think in terms of the religious leaders of that day, the ones who knew the prophecy that was just read by Brother England, who knew that the Messiah was to come, and yet when Jesus came, there was no room in their thinking, no room in their realm for this Jesus. And they rejected him. There was another time when you read about Jesus now a man going back home, back to Nazareth. Have you ever had that feeling after you were grown that you'd like to go back, if it were not where you're living now, that you'd like to go back to the town where you grew up? I can remember that feeling. I grew up in Miami, Florida, first 12 years. I could think about the big, fine house we lived in, and there was a pretty large schoolhouse down at the end of the block. We walked to school. Santa Clara was the name of it. Big, big school. And finally, when my children, Vicky and Johnny, were big enough to travel, I wanted to take them back to where I grew up, to my hometown. And we did. It was a disappointment. That house that I remembered was about as humble and small as anything you can think of. Wasn't much of a schoolhouse either. But that was home. Wanted to go back where I grew up. Jesus has gone back to where he grew up in Nazareth. But the people did not want him. There was no room for him. As far as they were concerned, they just did not want him there. In fact, they tried to cast him off of a cliff. They were going to kill him. Of course, Jesus slipped away, and that did not happen. But isn't it sad that there was no room for Jesus in his hometown after he had grown to be a man? I think of another occasion when Jesus had crossed the Sea of Galilee and he landed over in the area on the far side of Galilee called the land of the Gadareans. Strange thing happened when he got out of the boat. A man came up to him, a man that we would say was crazy. He was demon-possessed. People had tried to subdue him even with chains and were not able to do so. And he would sometimes go into the caves and the hills and would cut himself with stones and make strange noises. And he approached Jesus as Jesus got out of the boat. And the demons within him said, "What do we have to do with you, Son of God?" And Jesus cast the demons out of the man, cast them into swine, a herd of swine that was nearby. They went off into the Sea of Galilee and drowned. But there was no room for Jesus because after that happened, the people of the Gadareans came down to where Jesus was and they asked him to leave. "Don't stay here. We don't want you here." There was no room for Jesus in the land of the Gadareans. There was another time when Jesus was with his disciples and they were on their way to Jerusalem and they were going to pass through Samaria. And when the Samaritans found that they were on their way to Jerusalem, they said, "No, we don't want you here." As far as the Samaritans were concerned, in their country, there just was no room for Jesus there. That's when, by the way, James and John wanted to bring down fire from heaven and destroy those people. And later they were called sons of thunder. But isn't it sad that Jesus was not even allowed to pass through a country? There just was no room for him. And when you put it all together and you look at the life of Christ, basically he could be described as a homeless wanderer. You remember the man who came to him one day and said, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus' response to him was, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the heavens have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Didn't even have money to pay his taxes. And in a rather miraculous way, Peter was sent to catch a fish and the money was within it and they paid their taxes. He just really did not have much of this world's goods. And finally, they crucified him. There just wasn't room for him in this world. Wasn't room for him in the life of the religious people even. No room for Jesus in that society. It's rather sad. And you wonder why. Perhaps for the same reason that he's often rejected in our world today. Not because he was bad. Not because he did anything wicked. In fact, his whole life was a life of kindness and goodness and blessings and offering eternal salvation. And yet he just did not fit in, and in so many ways does not fit into the lifestyle of the world of our day. Perhaps for the same reason we reject him, or at least many do, he was rejected in his own time. Isn't it sad to think of the fact that in our day, that in many instances there is no room for Jesus in the business world? I'm thankful that within this congregation there are so many fine, upright men of integrity in the business world, but in so many areas of the business world, there's really not any room for Jesus. You think about those who have squandered and stolen and taken the money of other people, their life savings. There's no room for Jesus in that kind of man's thinking. Somebody said business and religion won't mix. If your business and your religion don't mix, you'd better change your business. Every businessman ought to be a Christian and conduct himself in a Christian-like manner, with integrity and honesty and uprightness, trustworthiness, all of those things that our Lord exemplified and taught us to be. But in some instances, there's no room for Jesus in the business world. Likewise, often there's no room for Jesus, and it is so tragic. And I thought about it as Ken was leading us in this last song, really something of a prayer of asking God to bless us and our nation, but there's no room for Jesus in our educational system any longer. We can't pray to God in our public schools any longer. I know I'm reminiscing a little bit, but I do remember when I was in the second grade in that schoolhouse I mentioned in Miami, and right at the first of the year, well, every day of the classes, we would have the Pledge of Allegiance and sing a song similar to the one we just sang, and we'd read the Bible and pray. I do remember the teacher who led us in prayer, Miss Kate. Second grade, didn't pray in Jesus' name. I'd always been taught we were to do that. I went home and asked Mother, "Where in the Bible does it say we're to pray in Jesus' name?" And she showed me, and I went back and showed it to Miss Kate. And you know, for the rest of the year, we prayed in Jesus' name. But we prayed, and we read the Bible. That couldn't happen today. It's against the law. There's no room for Jesus any longer in our public educational system. And then the various stratas of society, there's that strata called sometimes high society. It's a segment of society where there's just not any room for Jesus. The gambling, the profanity, the drinking, the adultery, the homosexuality in so many areas. They're just sections of our society when now there's just not room for Jesus. He doesn't fit into their lifestyle. They don't want him. They reject him just as surely as did the Gadareans and Herod and others of the time when he was on the earth. But maybe it's even more tragic to think of the fact that there are many churches. religious organizations where really there's no room for the real Jesus of the Bible. Jesus knew such would happen, and he said on one occasion, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. In vain do they worship me." Oh, they're worshiping. But he said, it's vain, because they really are not teaching what I taught. They're not really following the way I taught and wanted people to live. In many instances, in many societies, many religions, the teaching of Jesus is just old-fashioned. We're modern folks. We have to change with the times, and so much of what Jesus taught is just out of date. It doesn't fit any longer. And so we change things, or some people change things, in order to suit their own thinking. "In vain do they worship me," he said, "teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." Isn't it tragic to think that even in some religious groups, some who call themselves churches, that there's no room for Jesus any longer, not in the real sense of the world. Well, I suppose we could go on and mention other examples of that nature, but you know what it really gets down to, folks? It's us. What about our hearts and our lives? Do we really have room for Jesus in our lives? What about the matter of just being ready to read and study the Bible? We all say we believe the Bible. But there's so many things that we have to do today, and I just don't have time to read the Bible. What we're saying is we don't have time for Jesus. We don't have room for what He taught and what He said. Oh, we've got room for the newspaper. We've got room for our sports page. We've got room for our computers and our television, and on it goes. But I just don't have time to read the Bible. Well, we probably don't. But just like everything else, we have to take time. Take time to be holy. Isn't that a song we sing sometimes? We need to take time. Make time. There's going to come a day when we want the Lord to make room for us. We need to make room. What about our Bible reading practices? What about our prayer life? Do you pray much? Oh, I know we all pray when we feel like we're facing some kind of crisis, when there's some real tragedy in our lives. Oh, we can get on our knees and we can pray with the best of them. We can be as fervent as anybody. But what about when things are going well and we've got the health and we've got the money in the bank and we've got a good job and good family and, boy, things are going well. What about our prayer life then? Oh, I'm sure with you it's strong, and I hope it is. But in many instances, we just don't have room for our Lord when it comes to prayer. It's not that we don't believe in Him. It's not that we don't have faith in Him. It's not that we don't feel like we need Him, but there's just so many things crowding it out. Not bad things, but things that are less important than the Lord being in our lives. And we let things of a lesser nature crowd the Lord out. No room for Him. And you know, when you're thinking about your life and I'm trying to think about mine, do we really have room for Jesus when it comes to sacrificing for His cause? Isn't it amazing? Everything Jesus asked us to do, He showed us how to do it. And there has never been anyone who sacrificed more than the Lord Jesus. Sacrificed heaven. He sacrificed equality with God. Sacrificed His life. Do we have room for sacrifice for the Lord in our lives? Again, we sacrifice for the things we want to. If we want a new car, a better house, new clothes, we can sacrifice if we need to get the things we want. Are we willing to sacrifice for our Lord? To make it possible for His gospel to be spread and for what it does for our own souls to give back to the Lord that which really is His, and that He simply allowed us to be stewards with for a while. You know, there's going to be a time when we'll stand in the judgment, and we're really going to want to hear Him say, "Father, Give him a place in our eternal kingdom. Give him a place. Do we have a place for him now in our lives? Do we have a place for him in our hearts? Do we have a place for him in our lifestyle? Oh, we're going to want a place in his kingdom. But in some instances, there's no room for Jesus when it comes to sacrifice. And closely akin to that would be our service to him. We come on a Sunday morning, but to worship and to serve tonight, Sunday night, you really think I need to be there? Do I need to serve him and have room for him in that respect? You know as well as I, and I'm not trying to be ugly or critical, but about half of us will be here tonight. Some of us just don't have room for him tonight. And Wednesday night, Bible study? Oh, don't have room for him. Don't have time for that. I'm tired. I expect the Lord was pretty tired when he was carrying that cross to Golgotha. I'm sure he was tired when he walked the hills and the valleys of Palestine. I'm sure there were times when he was sleepy and hungry and thirsty. But he never stopped. Is there room for Jesus in our service, in our worship to him today? We give to our clubs and our lodges and our political groups, and on it goes, and we back our sports teams. But give, sacrifice, give to the Lord and the Lord's church. Oh, I give a little. But real sacrifice, real service to him, is there room for Jesus in our hearts? And is that why you're not a Christian, if you're not? Because you just don't have room for him yet. Maybe someday, sometime, someplace, I'll find room to come to him. I'll find room in my life for Jesus. But I don't have it now. But I think I'm going to live a few more years. I think I'm going to live long enough to retire, and then I'll have time. Then I'll have some space for the Lord. But I don't want to become a Christian right now. Is that why you're not a Christian? You don't have room for Jesus? And I guess most of us here this morning are Christians. We say we are. What about our lifestyle? Our service, our prayer life, our giving, our worship? The way we live every day at school and at work. Is there really room for Jesus in the way we live day by day? Well, there's going to come a time when we'll want to stand, and will stand, whether we want to or not really, before Jesus. And we are going to want him to find room for us. Sad to think about that time when he was a baby and there was no room for him in the end. But that fades into insignificance compared to our lives now and whether or not we have room for him. You know, at the end of a service like this, we always sing a song. It's a tradition, but it's a good one. It's just a time when we together try to encourage each other to come to Jesus, to give him room, to let him take our lives. And Brother Ken's going to lead us in a song, call it an invitation song, just the time when we're reminded of the Lord inviting us to come to him. It's as though he's standing at the door, and you know he said he is, and he's knocking. And he's saying, let me come in. Would you let Jesus come in? Is there room for him? Do you believe in him? Oh, I know you do. Do you have the faith to and the courage to confess his name? To repent of those sins and to be baptized with him? Be born into his family? What about those of us who are Christians? Let's look at our lives. And if there's a need in a public way to make things right, you know we can do that. So as we sing this song, we're going to stand up and we're going to sing, and it'll make it easy for anyone who wants to come. You don't have to do it now. You can at any time obey the Lord, but this would surely be a good time. Don't ever let it be said that there's no room for Jesus in your life, because there'll come a day when we'll want Jesus to be in our lives and we'll want to be in his home. If you need to come, would you come right now as together we stand and as we sing.